Well, let's continue to look at this and staying with the Coalition and its new energy policy. Joining me now is David Littleproud, the leader of the Nationals and the Shadow Minister for Agriculture. David Littleproud, welcome back to Breakfast.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Can you guarantee that electricity prices will come down under the Coalition's plan?
And we'll have more to say about this, but what we've shown, and in fact could be implemented today. The first two measures is expanding the capacity investment scheme to all technologies that provide energy into our grid at the moment, rather than just prioritising renewables. What that would do is get that latent supply into the grid and keep it in the grid for longer. That means supply. The good old demand and supply principles adhere to that having a downward pressure on prices. And then also the Australian Energy Market Operator is mandated to source energy solely through the premise of our 2030-35 target, which means there is that reliance on renewable energy. And if you took that away and mandated them to source the most affordable energy, then immediately you start to bring back the supply again in putting that downward pressure. You look at things like the safeguards mechanism, taking away the punitive penalties on that business are forced to pay, then again, that puts downward pressure again. So those are the first three things that the government today could do if they were serious. And when you just heard from Innes Wilcox about the number of businesses that are needing financial support because their energy is too expensive, then why wouldn't the government pull these levers today
Returning to the question and your policy, can you guarantee that electricity prices would come down under your plan?
Yeah, and we will, as I said, we will demonstrate that as we move forward. And what we've also got to understand is we're 2.5 years away from the election. And what will change is the baseline of what you're paying now. I mean, you were meant to get $275 back this year from what you're paying in 2022. That was the promise Labor gave you. But we are seeing. We are seeing not just through business, but through households. Every quarter, their energy bill continues to go up. And so what we want to do is make sure that we are honest with the Australian people about what that looks like and what the baseline is in two and a half years' time, and that we can have those clear levers that we can pull straight away, like addressing the CIS, like addressing AEMO and the safeguards mechanism immediately to make sure. And what that does also, Sally, is also builds time and capacity for us for those coal-fired power stations to transition into nuclear or more gas or whatever it may be. What we need is options at the moment. This government is putting us on a trajectory that we can't afford and we can't handle. And industry is the living experience of that, but so too are households. There's people tonight that won't be able to afford to put dinner on the table. That's an indictment on our country, as rich as what we are, that there are Australians tonight that can't afford to have dinner.
We've got a lot of detail to get through. How will the new coalition plan reduce emissions?
Well, again, what we've said is that we will take a technology agnostic approach, understand the technologies in the energy system, things like carbon capture storage and even batteries.
Which isn't a proven or large scale technology at the moment, is it?
Well, nor are batteries, Sally. You only have to look at the news last week to $1 billion blown just outside Sydney on what was meant to be the biggest battery. So are you saying that you shouldn't put the same lens against technology on carbon capture storage, which is being utilised here in Australia for the gas industry down in South Australia, and there's more development, and the world is developing that as they are developing other technologies in batteries and others and nuclear energy? Why wouldn't we open our minds to all the solutions? If we get back to first principles, we want to reduce emissions, we want to keep pace with the rest of the world, we don't want to streak ahead because you're experiencing the pain of that. So why wouldn't we say open our mind and buy us time for the technologies to catch up and the cost of those technologies to catch up, and we can still reduce emissions across sectors, and that's in a sensible, methodical way, a cheaper, better, fairer way that we live up to what we're going to do internationally, but take the pressure off households and business.
The Nationals policy included an emissions reduction fund, like there was in the Abbott government, to reduce pollution. That doesn't seem to be part of the joint coalition party. Why was that rejected, and without it, how will you get emissions down?
Because what we're saying is that we'll look at those sort of proposals moving forward. Has it been rejected
at this stage, just to clarify?
Well, what we've accepted at the moment are the programs that are in place at the moment through the CFC and the ARENA, and utilising that rather than new money. And that's the responsible thing to be able to undertake. Now, other considerations of ways to abate, what we'll need to get to is about, at the upper end, to stay at 1.1% of global emissions, about 9 million tonnes is what we believe would keep us at in pace with the OECD. The government is doubling that. They're wanting to abate about 22 million tonnes. They're going to reduce emissions by 4.8% a year between now and 2035. The OECD is doing 1.7%. So what they're saying is, let's keep pace. We'll use the existing frameworks. But even in that policy document, we have opened our mind and to other solutions that will continue to make sure that we can live up to that reduction in emissions while also investing in those technologies I've talked about, whether that be carbon capture storage or batteries or whatever that might be.
Would the coalition in government underwrite new coal as part of the capacity investment scheme, or are there additional subsidies you're willing to offer to new coal developments?
No, we're saying it's a technology agnostic. What happens for one technology should happen for them all. And what we want to do is get our energy operator back to the principle.
But to be clear, will there be additional subsidies in addition to the capacity investment scheme, which you're saying will be technology agnostic?
No, we've only announced that around what is currently available to keep capacity in the grid. That's common sense, and that builds that time for transitions away, and then the market will decide. The market will determine. And whether there's a proponent that wants to come forward, but the essence is that we'll treat everything equally, because if we do that, particularly in the here and now that Australians are hurting, we've got a capacity and opportunity to give them some relief, not short-term relief through rebates that we can't afford. We've got to fix the fundamentals, and we can do that, and we can buy time with technology because we do have the resources. And you look at all the states, Queensland, my home state, is going to sweat out their coal-fired power assets longer, Eraring, and now we'll definitely have to go longer now that battery's kaput outside Sydney. So why wouldn't we say to the Australian people, one way to bring down your pressure now that Anthony Albanese could do today, if he really cared about the fact you're paying too much, he could pull these levers that we're talking about with AEMO, the capacity investment scheme.
You've made that point earlier. Which industry groups have come out in favour of your policy so far?
Well, the New South Wales farmers to start with, and I see today Orica, who I would understand would be one of the industry group's members, have come out warning of the challenges they're facing. We're giving certainty to business, and this is important, that we'll continue to talk with business groups.
We've just had the Australian industry group on saying, and they're expressing significant concern about uncertainty for investment. And when I was talking to Innes Willicks, you would have heard, he was saying that he was approaching your policy with caution and a need for more detail.
Yeah, and that's what we'll provide, is that we're going to make them competitive with the rest of the world. Because at the moment...
When will we get more detail?
Well, exactly what we've just articulated, that we will keep pace. We're 1.1% of global emissions. We won't streak ahead to try and reduce
Innes
emissions.
But Willicks is saying that currently the amount of detail you have, he needs more detail, and he's approaching this policy with caution. So I'm asking, when will we get more detail?
Well, we're giving that detail. That detail is pretty clear. We're going to peg ourselves to what the OECD is doing. Now, what industry want, and what Innes also clearly articulated, is the pain that energy is causing his members here in Australia. There's a lived experience. Go and talk to the people of Tomago, the people in Mount Isa or Whyalla. The reality is we are saying that we are going to live up to international commitments. We'll give certainty. We'll peg ourselves to their international competitors that know that they can have international competitiveness, and that we won't see a leakage from Australia, from investment, because we'll do our bit. We'll stay pace with the world, but we won't streak ahead of the world.
They support net zero by 2050.
Well, that's a matter for them. But ultimately also, what you've also got to understand, and I respect the industry groups and BCA, but just understand this, Sally. They can have these lofty goals because big business can ultimately always pass it on to the punter. It's the mums and dads out there, the families out there that always pay. So you can sign up to these things, but there's a live cost and they're feeling that by losing some of their jobs. But ultimately, business has the ability to pass that on. And so what you're going to see is this government's going to introduce a tariff, a carbon border adjustment mechanism, because they're going to expand the safeguards mechanism. So to make industry that Innes represents to be competitive internationally, they'll have to put a tariff on imports like fertilisers, like herbicides, pesticides that grow our food that you'll have to pay. But that's okay for big business. They get to pass it on to you, and that's what Australians can't afford. So let's have a sensible debate about it.
We're over time. We need to leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.